At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
What a goal!
The Premier League is back.
Immerse yourself in football.
Who else but Erling?
Great stories you get from them, as well as obviously the football knowledge.
Become a member now and join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to Off The Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Yeah!
Hiya, it's Emma Carroll here from Off The Ball Breakfast, and I'm going to bring you another bite-sized chunk of Off The Ball. Happy Friday, 13th, by the way. Are you suspicious? Do you believe in that kind of thing? Anyway, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to know from this week's show. This week, we sat through what felt like hours of therapy following another poor international window from the Irish. At the start of the week, though, there was one Irish footballer that went viral. Defender Rory Feely of Barrow joined a list with Niall Quinn, Steve Staughton and John O'Shea as Irish men to jump in goal. Rory played almost an hour in goal and ended up getting man of the match, and he told us why he thinks the Irish always get the nod to go between the sticks.
Why do you think there's a history of Irish people like that this happens? Is it just that, I don't know, we'd be playing last man back a lot in school and that type of thing, and everyone would have played in goals at different stages or what?
It's got to be the hand-eye coordination, I guess, from playing football. I know not too many people know about GAA now, but surely over the years people would have noticed that GAA was such a popular sport over in Ireland, so they'd be like, any Irish lads come over going, I get your clubs on, you'd be all right, kind of thing. But that's the way it went for me anyway.
So does that mean you're now the number two for the season?
Well, for the next game probably, because we have a red card in our keeper, but I won't be kind of putting myself forward as an actual goalkeeper for any time soon, because it was quite daunting, and as much as I kind of enjoyed it, it was also terrifying. So I'd imagine the next few weeks we'll have a goalkeeper on the bench.
From one footballer to another, and former international Harry Arter was on the show this week. Now, we all know Harry had some issues during his time at Nottingham Forest, but not getting into the team and stuff like that. Well, ever wonder what happened there? Harry told us what you need to know.
Did you ever think, Harry, there was a possibility of changing their minds, and even by your outlook and how hard you were going to work?
That was something that I was always disappointed by. But I accepted it quite early, because when I come back from Charlton on loan, I would have been there for 18 months at this point. Obviously, Chris Hughton got sacked, and he was the reason that the club told me that they needed me or wanted me to move on. So when Steve Cooper took charge, honestly, and it's probably not something that will be that big of a deal for people to question, but I literally begged Steve Cooper just to let me train with the team. I said, just give me 2 weeks, almost like a trial with the team. And if you don't want me in and around it, I'll go back to the 21s. But it wasn't something that either himself or the club, wanted to look at. So, yeah, I was disappointed at that point, because I was thinking, I'm in the building. I'm obviously quite, I was a bit older at that time compared to majority of the lads. The club were going for promotion, and, I'd been quite successful with Fulham and Bournemouth. So I felt like I could have added to the group, even if it was just, being around the lads and motivating them or whatever they wanted me to do. But, that wasn't an option.
So there you have it. He was begging to play, apparently. We're going to stick with Forest, and former Premier League footballer and Irish international Andy Reid tells us what you need to know about coaching a Premier League first team.
You always have to be conscious, and it's kind of geared around three things, especially when you're working with the first team. And the three things being individual development, game model, so whether that be the club game model or the manager's game model, whichever you're working around. And then the third one then will be the team that you're coming up against next, so your opposition that's coming up. So all the sessions will be geared around one of them three things. And we were really keen, and it's something I suppose that I learned quite a bit from Steve Cooper, was to make sure that everything that we're doing means something. So what's the reason why we're coaching? session? What's the reason that we're doing this particular session? Now, if you break it down, you can have individual sessions where we used to walk as a unit, and I used to get the forward players together. We'd walk as a unit, and then we break that down then into individual areas of the pitch, you know, so it might be combinations in the wide areas. It might be annoying getting hold of the ball, and you kind of build it up and you add more to it. You build up the session, and then you get the midfielders involved. Then you might go into a full team session. So you're kind of building things up as you go along, from the individual, then into the unit, and then bringing into the team. But still, like I just mentioned, they're all geared around individual development, game model, or opposition that you're going to be playing against next.
Jesus, it sounds like the Republic of Ireland could do with you with those developing skills.
I've got enough problems of my own. Thanks very much.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
On to some GAA now, and it's been a week of GAA rule change chat. Kerry coach Paddy Talley explains what the three-man up rule will mean for the game.
The big one will be the three players staying up. I think that's, to me, it's a big change in the way our games will play. That's never happened before, that you can't defend en masse. Yeah. Whereas last number of years, and if you probably this last, certainly from this last 10 years, where teams are really dropping back into a very set defensive shape, and you're defending with 15 players inside the 45. Most teams do it. They might do it for the entire games, but if you look across it, every team's doing it at some stages of the game. Now what you have is you're going to have a 12-man defence, including your keeper. So that's going to be a different type of defensive play. There's going to be more space within inside the 45. And that's going to change the way players are going to have to defend, and teams are going to have to defend. So I think that's a big one. It also means that the transition from defence to attack now can be different, where if you have 15 men behind the ball, you have nobody kick the ball to. But now, straight away on a transition play, they will have options to kick the ball long. I would not say teams will do it all the time, but they certainly use it a lot more, where you have three players on the other half of the pitch. So I really do think there'll be a lot more kicking in the game, which on long kick and a long kick passing to release fast break plays. And then it'll be very exciting on the players coming to support that as well. So
are coaches okay with the 50-50 nature? That maybe 50-50 is overstating it, you know, depending on the play. But like, that's been the reason that we've had an awful lot of that lateral play, because possession was king. But you're saying this will help sort of free up the game a little bit. We'll move away from that lateral stuff a little bit more.
Yeah, I do think there will be an element of it. You know, because when you do cross the halfway line, it'll be 12 on 12 or whatever it may be. Or while the goalkeeper will take the risk and push up to be the extra attacking player on the opposite half of the field, and one of the defenders drops back into goals, you know, so you'll see, you know, this will evolve, you know, where a defender player will drop in and stay in nets, and the goalkeeper will he can go and attack. And as long, the goalkeeper isn't included in the back three. So, you know, as long as you have three players back there, the goalkeeper can give you an additional attacking player going forward. So, you know, teams will evolve these, and they will adapt these rules to benefit both attack and defence. But I do feel that one's a big one. Yeah. I do think that the three players up is going to make a massive difference to the game.
Our cyclist Eddie Dunbar has had an incredible season, winning in multiple stages of the Grand Tour. He told Phil Egan and Keith Tracy all about the training that goes into such a race.
What would your normal training regime be like?
So in cycling terms, you'd say you do a 3-day block. So you have three training days, which might be look something like 4 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours rest day. And then you'd repeat it. And like, and then on those different efforts to do, one might be an endurance day. And then to finish off the block, you'd have another efforts day. So I did that quite a bit in Andorra last year, which is a brilliant way to get your condition up. But just the timing of it last year, after the Giro as well, I would have been quite fit. So there was probably no need to do that amount of volume. So it was just something I picked up on last year. So this year I stayed here to train, but I did 2-day blocks. And I did less volume in the heat, which really helped, I think, because I was resting, but I was still just doing more quality, I would say. And the Vuelta is a race where it's kind of quality efforts versus you do the Tour. The Tour is like a quality and an endurance race, then you do the Giro, it's more like endurance, really long climbs in cold weather versus, yeah, the Vuelta is just short, punchy, steep climbs. Every day is hard. So it's just important to go into that fresh. The approach to the Vuelta this year is just a bit different. I went in a bit fresher with a few more quality efforts under my belt. And I think, yeah, by the second or third week, I was just probably a bit fresher than some of the other guys, I would say.
Now, the AAL is just a couple of weeks away from being back underway. And Fiona Hayes not only coaches Munster, but also UL Bulls, and, of course, is a friend of the show. She told us what you need to know about the stresses of being a coach.
Fiona, I just wanted to ask you, I was reading up on you a little bit, and you were, one of your quotes were that the Munster job is really, really stressful, but very enjoyable. And I've only just dipped my toe into the water of coaching, and some of the stuff that has popped up with the things you just do not learn on paper or on your coaching badges. So what is the most stressful thing you've, outside of the norm of the tactics and the gym sessions, what's the most stressful and the most enjoyment element of it for you?
Oh, God, stressful. I was just going to say, don't do it, Keith. Don't dip your toe anywhere near it. No, I'm only joking. I suppose stressful in a way that you're kind of the lead, and I'd have maybe four or five different coaches. I'd have S&C, couple S&C coaches. You've got physios, you've got attack, defence coach, different areas. And it's trying to make everyone happy when you're looking at a session plan, even something as small as that. Players could be pulled just post-season or post-session. You have numbers down on paper. Then you have a team environment. You'll know that, Keith, as well from playing it. Not everybody is best of pals all the time. So it's trying to make sure that when we're playing, when we're training, that everyone is enjoying it, happy. And I suppose as the head coach, you're in charge of that area and dealing with the personal side of things a bit more than you would be as an assistant coach.
So that's what you need to know from this week's sport. You can listen to the full interviews now on the Off The Ball app or becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. And remember, if you're not a member yet, you can still download the app, sign in, and you can listen to 3 free podcasts per month. And of course, you can catch all of Off The Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30 a.m. You can watch on our YouTube channel or listen to us on OTB Sports Radio, which streams live on the Off The Ball app. We'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction to the North London Derby with Martin Lipton. Quinny will give us a season preview of Munster. And of course, we'll have the latest performance rankings. Have a great weekend.